student had accused him of sexual assault. The university's official records never mentioned the word rape, but the tabloids did, plentifully. Fascinating, thought VJ. Carlton came to Mars as a virtual refugee from the affair, claiming he'd been set up by religious fundamentalists because of his teaching about evolution. Now he was leading the effort to excavate the long-buried Martian village, and reveling in the attention it brought him. He'd been shacked up with one of the younger women, Doreen McManus, VJ had learned, but she'd gone back to Selene. If Carlton misses her, he certainly doesn't show it, she thought. On the other hand, she mused, there's definitely tension between Carlton and Chang. Negative tension. Chang doesn't like the anthropologist. He sees Carlton as a challenge to his authority. Come on over to the stereo table, Carlton said to the group, and I'll show you what I mean. They dutifully left their half-finished lunches on the table and trooped across the dome. Halfway there, VJ realized that Carlton had come up alongside her. Are you really interested in this? He asked, smiling at her. He was slightly taller than Jamie, she realized, and several centimeters taller than she. Slim, with a tight gut. On Earth, he'd be deeply tanned from all his outdoors work. Here on Mars, no one got sunburned, not inside the suits they had to wear. It's fascinating, VJ replied. Carlton beamed, thinking that she referred to his work. Carlton called up the three-dimensional display of the dig, then spent the rest of the lunch hour showing what they were uncovering. These along here are the foundations of what might most likely be living quarters. Houses? Asked one of the women students. Houses, Carlton said. Or not, said one of the older men. Mustn't jump to conclusions. Carlton nodded perfunctorily. Yes, but look at the way they're grouped around what can only be a central plaza. Kind of small for a plaza. A mini-plaza, then. Carlton's tone went harder. I'm willing to bet that's where they had a communal fireplace. We found traces of ash in a central stone-lined pit. That's where they cooked their food. Another of the students, male, said, they must have had fairly extensive fields of crops nearby. Brightening, Carlton agreed. We'll look for those once we've excavated the entire village. Croplands don't leave all that much for us to find, though. Seeds, maybe petrified parts of plants. Not like the foundations of these structures. A tone chimed, echoing through the dome. Lunch hour's over, said Carlton. Time to suit up and get back to work. The group began to head for the main airlock where their nanofabric suits hung waiting for them. Would you like to join us, Mrs. Waterman? VJ was only half surprised by his question. Me? I don't know anything about digging up old ruins. That's all right. I can show you what to do.
Really?
If it interests you. Thinking it over swiftly, VJ said,
I have to check in at the infirmary. Would it be okay if I came out a little later?
Certainly. I'll look forward to it. He gave her a brilliant smile, then turned and headed toward the airlock. VJ stood at the stereo table thinking,
a narcissist. He's definitely a narcissist. But is he also a rapist?
She thought not. Tithonium Chasma, The Dig. It was mid-afternoon by the time VJ finished her notes, suited up, and walked out to the dig. She recognized Carlton standing in a bulky, grimy old hard suit by the big sifter on the edge of the pit with a pair of others in nanosuits flanking him on either side. He recognized her, too.
Mrs. Waterman, she heard in her earphone. Welcome!
VJ walked up to the anthropologist and they shook gloved hands.
Please call me VJ, she said.
Sure, great. And you can call me Carter.
She peered over the edge of the excavation.
Those actually do look like the foundations of buildings.
That's exactly what they are, VJ. For the next 10 minutes, Carlton pointed out to her the houses, the plaza, the street that ran straight toward the old riverbank, just as he had outlined them on the stereo display. Seeing the ancient remains in actuality, though, was different. VJ felt an excitement that stirred her. Jamie was right. Real, actual people lived here, worked here, raised families here, and died here, she realized, more than 60 million years ago.
They were a lot shorter than we, Carlton was saying, built close to the ground.
How can you tell? She asked.
We've made some measurements of the door frames. Reconstructions, actually, since the frames are all collapsed. But we have intact doorways up in the cliff structures.
I see.
The setting sun was casting long shadows across the valley floor before Vijay realized that she had spent almost the entire afternoon with Carlton at the dig. The excavation was completely shaded now. The workers were climbing up out of the pit on the ramp that had been cut into one side of it. Another day older and deeper in debt, one of the postdocs wisecracked as he shut down the sifter's motor. Carlton waggled a finger at him. Wrong attitude, Lonzo. Another day finished, and we're closer to having the whole village excavated.
And what then? Vijay asked.
He put a hand on her shoulder and turned her toward the dome. By then, we should know a lot more about the Martians than we do now. What they ate, how they lived.
What they looked like?
He nodded inside the inflated bubble of his helmet. Yes. I think we should even get a fairly good idea of what they looked like. Then, grinning, he added, it would help if they left a few pictures around, decorated their homes, put up a sign or two.
Do you think you'll find something like that?
He shrugged inside the nanosuit. Maybe they were iconoclasts. Maybe making images of themselves was forbidden.
Like Muslims,
Vijay murmured. Burial sites, Carlton said. That's where we'll find out the most about them. We haven't found their cemetery, not yet.
Vijay wondered if the Martians buried their dead. Some cultures on Earth preferred cremation, she knew.
Primitive peoples often left dead bodies out in the open to be consumed by scavengers. Can you have dinner with me? Carlton asked. Surprised, Vijay blurted,
I have meals with my husband.
Bring him along. I'm broad-minded. Once she had finished vacuuming her nanosuit and hanging it on the rack by the main airlock, Vijay hurried across the dome to her quarters. Jamie wasn't there, so she walked to his office. He wasn't there either. Puzzled, almost worried, she stood outside the entrance of his cubicle and wondered if she should ask the excursion controller where her husband was. Then she saw him and Monsignor DiNardo walking slowly from the airlock, deep in conversation. Feeling relieved, Vijay headed back toward their quarters.
He'll come there before dinner, she told herself.
But Jamie spotted her from halfway across the dome and beckoned to her. She hurried to him. I didn't realize how late it was getting, Jamie said. We spent the whole day up in the cliff structures.
It is my fault, the priest said with an apologetic smile. I'm afraid I have taken your husband away from his duties.
Before Jamie could reply, Vijay said,
I went out to the dig with Kara.
Oh? I thought you were working with the medical staff.
I played hooky this afternoon. Just like you.
DiNardo's brows knit.
Hooky? Carter's asked us to have dinner with him,
Vijay said to Jamie. He turned to the priest. I thought we'd eat with Monsignor DiNardo tonight. We have a lot to talk over about the documentary the Dex made. We're going to add a segment from Up in the Cliff Dwellings. Vijay started to bite her lip, caught herself, then said,
Well, want you to do what you need to, and I'll eat with Carter, okay?
Jamie glanced at DiNardo, then nodded. Okay.
Vijay felt strangely disappointed.
Tithonium Base. Dinner. Your husband's a busy man, said Carlton, smiling across the small table at Vijay. She made herself smile back as she glanced past Carlton's shoulder at Jamie and DiNardo sitting at the next table, huddled over their untouched dinners, talking intently. Jamie's back was to her.
He's fighting to keep them from closing down our work here,
Vijay said. Good for him, said Carlton. But I suppose that doesn't leave him enough time for you.
Vijay marveled at the man's self-centeredness. I was right, she thought. He's a complete narcissist.
Misreading her silence, Carlton said, I shouldn't be poking into your personal life, I suppose. Vijay picked up her fork and surveyed the slices of soy beef on her plate.
We all live in each other's pockets here, don't we?
I suppose we do. They ate in silence for a few moments. Then Carlton said, God, what I wouldn't give for a decent glass of wine.
It's a sacrifice we make for working here, she said.
I suppose so, but still.
Is he angling to see if I've got some booze stashed? Vijay wondered.
As if in answer, Carlton said, I brought 6 bottles of single malt with me, but they're all